Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. So, you walk every day for exercise and put in at least 30 minutes per day. Good for you. Good, but not great. If you're strolling at a leisurely pace, you may be missing out on the greater health benefits a brisk walk offers. The goal, like any exercise, is to sweat.
So, how fast do you have to walk to stay healthy? Here with the latest information on the benefits of brisk walking is health reporter Gretchen Reynolds, who writes for the New York Times Well blog and is the author of The First 20 Minutes, Surprising Science Reveals How We Can Exercise Better, Train Smarter, Live Longer. Welcome back to Take Care, Gretchen. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
So you might have felt good if you finally got out the door and did a little walk around the neighborhood, but along comes a scientific study to let us know that just leisurely walking and admiring the foliage really is not enough to get the best health benefit. Tell us what the National Walkers Health Study revealed.
Well, the National Walkers Health Study is the largest repository that is known of information about walkers. It's a questionnaire that was given to almost 40,000 walkers of mostly middle-aged, more women than men, but a representative group of men also. And these walkers walked at a variety of paces. Some of them were quite slow, like a 30-minute per mile walk, which means you do, 2 miles per hour. And other people were quite speedy. There were people doing at least 13 minutes per mile, which is very close to jogging. And so the people who gathered this information, which is kept at the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory at Berkeley, took this information and thought, let's see how well, in effect, how well walking prevents premature death, basically, whether walking helped people live longer. Because, believe it or not, no one had ever actually looked at that.
We've always been told, though, that walking for 30 minutes a day is sort of like that baseline. And so hearing that, just the walk itself, I mean, I'm assuming not leaf peeping, not leisurely strolling, but that you're walking at a reasonably good clip. But 13 minutes, I mean, as a walker, I can say 13 minutes is a powerfully fast stroll.
Well, here's what they found, which was actually quite interesting. For a study that was published a month ago, that the researchers took this large group of walkers and they divided them into four groups, depending on how quickly they walked. And the people in group, say, three, were actually walking at about 17 minutes a mile, which is, that's better than a stroll, but it's not really hard. The people in group four, who were the slowest, were walking at least 17 and a half minutes per mile, and most of them were walking at 20 minutes, 25 minutes, or 30 minutes a mile, which is fairly slow. And what the researchers did is they compared the people in these groups. They basically looked up death records and found how many of the walkers had died. And the fact is they were, of the walkers who had died, far more had died within 10 years of joining the study if they walked really slowly. And there are two intimations from that. One is that if you're already not well, you can't walk quickly. But the other message is it does seem that walking more briskly, and not you're not running, but walking at a 17-minute-per-mile pace, those people were much less likely to have suffered a heart attack, to have died from complications of diabetes, to have died from complications related to dementia, than the people who were walking more slowly. So the lesson would appear to be that if you are walking for help, if you're not walking because you just want to see the birds, see the trees, if you really want to improve your health from going for a walk, you need to do it a little bit faster than many of us do.
Okay, so I know that the study did not cover this, but implied in what you've been discussing is heart rate. In other words, if you got your heart rate up while you were walking at a good clip so that you were perspiring, you were perhaps finding it hard to have a conversation, and the dog wasn't in front of you because you really have to focus on walking. It's as we said, not a leisurely thing, but you're really making this a form of exercise. Does heart rate play a part?
Oh, certainly. In fact, it's one of the easiest ways to judge how intensively you are exercising. If your heart rate is above, the problem with using heart rate is you actually have to have a heart rate monitor. What I like to use, and this is actually the CDC suggests this also, if you want to exercise briskly, then one way to judge that is you can talk to someone that you're with or to yourself, but you can't sing. And that's, if you can sing, then you're not going hard enough. Then it's not even moderate exercise. But you should be able to talk, or else it's more intensive.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we're talking with health reporter Gretchen Reynolds, who writes for the New York Times Well blog. We're discussing a recent study that found that a brisk walk is better for you than a leisurely stroll. Okay, so we've been talking about heart rate, and as you point out, a heart rate monitor, I mean, that's not something that most of us carry. But most
we
of us,
can take our pulse, right?
Well, we can take our pulse.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to admit it. I am the one who's into smartphones and apps and all sorts of that. And most of us do carry a smartphone that probably has an app that you could download, which will work as a pedometer. Is that a good way of measuring your pace?
Not really. That just tells you how many steps you're taking, which does not tell you how rapidly you are going. What was interesting, the most interesting point, I think, in this Walker study was that when they looked at the really slow walkers, some of those walkers were covering a lot of territory. They were actually expending as much energy over the course of a day as the people who were walking more briskly, but they still were at higher risk of premature death. So it wasn't just covering the territory. There did seem to be something about the intensity that, and scientists aren't sure what that is yet, but there does seem to be something about making yourself work a little more strenuously that causes greater physiological changes and greater impacts on health.
But there are some phone apps. I mean, I know that I use them. Sometimes I've used them for running, not an effective mm-hmm. runner, but I am a fast walker. And they do use the phone's accelerometer so that you are being told what your pace per mile is and how many minutes it'll take you to cover a mile. So if you're using a device like that, not just counting steps, but telling mm-hmm. you your pace, that would be helpful then, right? Because you're setting goals.
Yes, that certainly would. I'm personally a little bit of a Luddite, and I don't use my phone for those purposes. But there are some really good studies that show that the best way of estimating how briskly you are exercising is to be honest with yourself. And if you say on a scale of 1 to 10 how this exercise feels to you, most people are actually very accurate. They actually can say, this feels hard, this feels easy, and their estimation would actually be correct based on what their heart rate is. So if you are honest with yourself and say, this feels like a 6 or 7, that's an ideal pace in terms of health benefits, or at least the science suggests that. So you don't have to use technology if you don't want to. It's certainly very easy and effective, but you can just listen to your body, as we've always heard. And in fact, the science shows that that is a very reliable way of determining if you're exercising vigorously enough.
So would you say, if you were walking briskly, according to this definition, that it's just one step short of like breaking out into a jog? Is that what we should picture?
No, not necessarily. Again, in this particular study, the people in the third slowest group were doing better than a 17-minute mile, which is not close to jogging, but is definitely more than just a stroll. So it should feel like you are, in fact, exercising, that you are not just wandering and thinking, that there is sort of intent behind this to make yourself have to breathe a little hard. But it doesn't have to get to the point of being almost a jog in order for you to gain considerable health benefits.
Gretchen, you do so much reporting on exercise, and you really get into the science. And I'm getting away for a second about walking, and we actually, you know, just have less than a minute to talk. But one thing I wondered, have you been doing this long enough so that some of these studies in a couple of years contradict themselves? Or as we move along, are we just gaining more and more, quote unquote, true science and knowledge? Do you know what I mean? Have you ever revisited a subject? Yeah.
In the time that I have been doing this, certainly some studies have contradicted other studies. But I would say that as we are gaining more really reliable scientific information about the human body, and the National Walker's Health Study is a really large study which has never existed before, as we get more of these large studies of what seems to work for helping your body to be as healthy as it can, the science actually I don't think it will change. I think the bigger the studies, the more reliable the instruments that are used to study people, the more we learn, and I don't think that's going to change. I don't think in a year we're going to say, actually, walking slow is the ideal solution. I think what we are going to see is that the human body needs to move, and it's better if you move a little bit more quickly.
Health reporter Gretchen Reynolds, author of The First 20 Minutes, Surprising Science Reveals How We Can Exercise Better, Train Smarter, Live Longer. And Gretchen also writes for the New York Times Well blog. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For more information on brisk walking and Gretchen Reynolds, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org.
On next week's show, that yogurt container in your fridge you're about to toss out because it's a week past expiration? Don't. The date has little to do with the freshness and safety of the product. The director of Michigan State University's School of Packaging on the science of food packaging. Plus, three essential tips for staying healthy after 50 from an AARP columnist.
Thanks for spending this half hour with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on the WRVO website. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.